This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Actually, all right, sorry, Lopez. I know that we're trying to stay on track. We will go around the NFL here in a second, but y'all, wow, a lot of regrets very instantaneously. I will start with the subsection of sent that to the wrong person. Yep. Where someone let us know they were in meetings during like COVID where you're working virtually. They were in meetings, and after a little while, like after like a few weeks of meetings, they sent a message to their coworker saying, when is this bee going to stop? And apparently she responded back in the chat, whenever I want to, which, yikes. In that same subset, somebody said they accidentally sent a mass email to their guy friends of naked women on a boat, and it went to the priest of their Catholic church.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah,
you might imagine a talking to came to after that one. And then the secondary subsection is times you bucked up to not your dad, but your mom as well. As I think that's happening right now in the chat on the YouTube page. Again, appreciation to the Mocarum injury lawyers. Our guy Phoenix Marcus said he bucked up to his mama, found out quick that she was a Power Ranger, still have the scar on his lip from that. And shout out to Kix Rocks, who said, same except wooden spoon. So, yeah, man, there's a lot of those. We had the whole break we were talking about similar situations, including one with a good friend of mine that had to do with mac and cheese and him not wanting to eat it. When I tell you he slept good after that particular whooping, he did sleep
very good. My people will know about the chancla, the dreaded chancla.
That's right.
My mom, she could pull it like a six-shooter.
Like a holster, just out the holster?
Yeah, like a six-shooter, man.
Or spaghetti
shoes,
western stuff.
What you know about them shoes?
The chancla, the little slipper.
There you go.
She could just pop it out and whip you.
And they used to throw it like a boomerang. Like,
and we laugh to keep from crying.
Yes,
we laugh to keep from crying. All right, let's go around the NFL here where the NFL draft was widely well-regarded, well-watched, as I think John Lewis of Sports Media Watch said that the second night of the draft attracted an average audience of 7.3 million viewers across all platforms, a 40% increase from day two of last year.
I wonder why.
Yep. That is a question.
What was they waiting on to get drafted?
Yeah.
Although one thing I will say, right, there was a ton of people at, just physically at this draft. Green Bay really had people show up in a big, I mean, because I was watching day two, day three, and I was like, they still got a good amount of people out there even still. But yes, Figgy, you are absolutely right that a lot of this was driven by the, I guess, fall, if we want to call it that, of Shedeur Sanders down the draft boards, ultimately landing in the fifth round with Cleveland, a team that he was, you know, kind of mocked to very early on in the process at two overall. He ultimately tumbles to that place. And there's been a lot of conversation. What is it? Hashtag discourse about this in particular.
A lot of think pieces.
Where do you fall on this? Are you Lopez, in the place where you go, this is simply the market dictating that he is not like as hefty of a prospect? Is this some level of indictment of him as in his professionalism or what have you? Or is this something else entirely?
Sometimes, you know, we say this saying, two things can be true at once.
Sure.
I think three things can be true at once.
Okay.
In his case. Number one, I refuse to believe that this was any kind of conspiracy, any kind of NFL, you know, owners and general managers and coaches, you know, sort of not sort of getting the pack mentality, because some team would have taken him earlier. Like even with the pack mentality, with the, you know, the reputation and all this other stuff, there would have been a team that could have taken him earlier. So I refuse to believe this is some sort of like conspiracy type thing. The second thing is obviously the funny thing. You know, I guess the Cleveland Browns have some quarterbacks now, huh? They have some selection.
Because in the third round they took Dillon Gabriel, and that's where I fall. That on this, or that's part of where I fall at. I think, and I will start by prefacing this with, you can attest this, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not just coming up with this on the back end to try and like, you know, both sides or what have you. I was not high on Deion or as on Shedeur Sanders as a quarterback prospect, which to be fair, I'm not high on any of the quarterbacks in this particular draft. And if you get to a certain point, like I did not see the reason why he would be a number two or number three overall outside of simply quarterback is an important position and people will get there. We had a whole long text conversation about such.
With that being said,
right? I can even see the ways in which Jackson Dart over Shedeur Sanders is a way that you could go, right? Jackson Dart is a very, very raw player, but there's some there's some upside. In fact, to speak to how raw he is, because I think this is funny. Can you give me this from John Gruden and his quarterback situation? You do have this, right, Figgy? This is Jackson Dart explaining to John Gruden what his snap count sounds like.
Stand up. Let me see your snap count. Let me be honest with me, because I see at USC, I see this guy. Go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah. No, I want to hear the snap count.
Yeah.
Really? Every time?
Every time.
Do you have like a dummy clap or anything?
Yeah, we call it purple.
What's that?
Yeah.
For 3 years, you've been clapping. I think I could do that.
Let me hear it.
No, I ain't doing it.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, Jackson Dart, like when he gets to the NFL and he's having to do all these extra calls, there might be some more to be done there. I found it to be hilarious.
It was.
Because he had the biggest smile on his face, Jackson Dart did. He's like, look at this. Watch this. Watch this. You ready? You ready to see it? You ready?
He planned it.
Clap.
Yeah.
Like, that was it.
Yeah, because they always ask that, you know, so he does. So.
It was hilarious. Yeah. But, I mean, I can even see going Jackson Dart over him. Like, I could see the going on the upside play for Jackson Dart, and he will have that opportunity in New York. The thing is, you start getting me to the point of relative value when you talk about opportunity cost. Tyler Shuck is going to be 26 years old at the start of the season.
That's where I kind of lost it. I'm like, all right, man.
That he I don't see the ceiling proposition on him. Dylan Gabriel, his ceiling is expected to be, or actually, I don't see the floor on him. Like, he has an incredibly low floor, Tyler Shuck. Dylan Gabriel, reasonable minds, because obviously, you know, when we talk about projection, we are guessing to some extent. So I'm keeping this kind of rough because I don't know that I'm going to say absolutely, but reasonable minds assessing his possible ceiling is good backup.
Yeah.
And he was taken two rounds ahead of Shedeur Sanders.
In the third round.
Yeah.
Two rounds ahead of Shedeur Sanders.
I didn't get that one,
So, like, you can talk to me about maybe what he is as a prospect and maybe him not being a first-round prospect. Even in this year, I can maybe go with you on that argument. I can even maybe go with you on the idea that Shedeur Sanders, his ceiling might be a little bit lower than some of the other guys that are in this. I can hear you on that argument. I don't know how much I'd agree with it, but I can hear you on the argument. When we start getting to these places, I don't know that you go to a place where you talk about a level of his personality or arrogance that is so much more than the opportunity cost of a quarterback, especially if you're talking about a dude who has the possibility of being a solid starter compared to a dude whose ceiling is backup quarterback. You mean to tell me that like his interviews were so poor that no team goes, the opportunity cost is just so great that I'm not taking it? I'm having a hard time buying.
I get that, but I think the answer is yes. There's not the NFL didn't all 32 conspire to we're going to show him it was that bad. They didn't all fall in line with some narrative. These guys, you know, they think independently. They do their own thing, and they always go back to, well, I can fix him. You know, the coaches, I can fix him. We talked about that a lot. So Dylan Gabriel was absolutely a head scratcher. Tyler Shuck, absolutely a head scratcher. But here's the third thing that I got to. The three things can be true at once.
Okay.
All right? The third thing is, and this was going to be a confession, but I'll say it right here because I got other confessions. As comical as it all seems, I think they actually got a steal with Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round.
100%.
In the fifth round, I think they finally, to your point, they finally said, well, screw it. It's not going to cost us much here. And everything that happens, if it doesn't work out, nobody's going to be pointing and laughing at the Browns. There's plenty to laugh at already with the Browns, you know? But if it's just a good, solid quarterback that can start some games, because keep in mind, Flacco's old. Pickett isn't going to do anything. Dylan Gabriel, you talked about. Maybe they see him as a backup. But if they strike gold,
he actually have a chance to start.
If they strike gold all of a sudden and he's just a good quarterback, that's a steal.
Assuming that they have the incentive to, because yeah. I think, and I'm sure Ron will make this point, but one of the points that he was making when we were talking about this is also that he now, like, he has less of a guarantee, or guarantee is not even the right way of saying it, but like he has a lower ground to stand on being a fifth round pick, because teams are incentivized, as much as we want to talk about the best player ultimately getting to that place. My high school coaches used to say this, and it upset the hell out of me because we know politics factors in, but the idea that the cream will rise to the top.
Yeah.
We also know that, like, your draft position, your contractual, you know, mm-hmm. the obligations that they have to you contractually do impact it. And it's a lot different when you're talking about a third round, second round pick compared to a fifth round pick, where he's got a real uphill battle in order just to make the roster, considering that you got technically five quarterbacks, although I don't know that where Deshaun Watson will fall on the active roster, what have you, right? You've got a lot of quarterbacks in there that you have to find your way above. So he's going to have to ball out very quickly to justify his existence on that roster.
But he's got 2 years. He won't, a fifth round pick won't get cut the first year.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, generally, no. Sixth and seventh, maybe.
If you're the third quarterback, right? Yeah. But there's a lot of quarterbacks, is what I'm saying. And there is a situation where you could get them to, they could easily get to a place where they go, sorry, dog, you're quarterback four.
If I had to bet on it, I would probably bet this ain't looking good for Kenny Pickett, somebody like Kenny Pickett.
Or Deshaun, of course.
Well, he just kind of has to be. They don't have the out.
He's probably going to be on the PUP list or something like that. But. Yeah.
So, no, I think, to me, if you want to point and laugh at the Browns, you can, and there's plenty to you can point and laugh at.
Well, you can point and laugh at this draft they had.
Yes,
can
absolutely.
Can I give you a point and laugh in some ways? Did you see Kevin Stefanski and the general manager when they were making the selection, or once the selection was in and was being announced? Them boys was clapping, but they did not look excited. Like, they really didn't look that excited. 713, he just isn't that good. That is all relative. I just gave you a relative reason where he's absolutely that good comparatively to the third round pick that the Browns selected themselves, and a dude who probably went in the second round pick, who I would easily say is not as good as Deion or Shador. I keep wanting to call him Deion. Shador Sanders. And so, anyways, look, we've said our piece, and ultimately this is one of those kind of topics that is so robust that I think that a lot of people are going to have fairly solid stances on this, and ultimately it's up to him. Like, is he going to get out here and, you know, be able to do the things that are necessary for him to be a success in a way that I think he obviously wants to, and I imagine the Browns would want him to, just for their own personal benefit.
Yeah.
So with that being the case, you had the Shador drop, but within that, a subplot was, there was somebody out here calling to prank him during the course of this.
That was that's just cruel, and the fact that it was a guy who knew better. He knew better.
Yeah. So Jax Ulbrich, who was the son of the Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, released a statement apologizing for prank calling Shador Sanders to try and basically make it seem like he was being drafted. It's on Instagram, saying that he made a tremendous mistake. He was, you know, he spoke to specifically to Shador Sanders, and he appreciated Shador accepting his call, saying that he was selfish, childish, and, you know, obviously spoke to it. It was, I guess, nice that he did ultimately apologize, but that is really problematic that information was so easily accessible from players. And I know that, you know, there's just going to be a defense coordinator is going to have these information available to them. That was a little bit troubling that, like, that was so easily accessible.
Well, and the other thing, you know, a lot of people are blaming, his father for leaving. I guess he left his iPad open, unlocked. But if you can't do that in your own home with, you know, a high school age person there who knows exactly what the situation is, I actually don't even blame him that much. You know, it was the kid. It was the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Just something stupid. That's like stealing out of your mom's purse.
Right.
You know not to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he wasn't the only one, Shador.
There were several, right?
Tyler Warren was also prank called. He ultimately went 14th to the Colts. So you'll be seeing him in division. Obviously, we know that. But supposedly when the Jets were up at 7, he received a prank call as well. I don't know that we have very many details as to who. The NFL is currently looking into this, as this is becoming a mini epidemic of sorts in the NFL, because there was also somebody else who was prank called in this. And I just don't get what you're getting
out of it. What do you get out of it? What do you get out of something
just
like
being
that?
Being stupid.
I mean, it's not even funny. It's not funny by any stretch.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. So the NFL is actively looking into it, which I did find a little bit humorous in maybe a dark way, because there's a lot of things that the NFL allows mm-hmm. other people to look into.
Yeah.
And they're like, we got to jump into action. We can't have these people prank calling players.
Yeah.
We can't do this. So, yeah, no, but the NFL is looking into it. When it comes down to it, what school do you believe had the most players selected throughout the NFL draft?
Well, Lopez? I think we all know this one. Figgy?
Do you?
The Ohio State University.
That's correct. 14 selections to Ohio State. Do you know who was second?
Georgia?
The University of Georgia, okay. At 13. Mm-hmm. So, but the SEC as a conference had the most with mm-hmm. 79. Big Ten had the second most with 71. The drop-off pretty steep to the ACC, 42 selections from the ACC. Miami leading the charge there with 7. And then the Big 12 had 31 selections as well. Colorado having 4, Iowa State, Arizona, Oklahoma State having
3 receivers, too, Colorado.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. yes, the most wide receivers that were taken in a very particular place. So, mm-hmm. yeah, man.
They made Shadur look good.
Maybe so. That is a part of, that is a part of Shadur's game that does, like, he had, what, a 70-something completion percentage, mm-hmm. but I think the tracking data would tell you that his receivers did still have to make some movements mm-hmm. when it came to, like, open passes. Yeah. So, I'm not here. I'll be the last one to tell you, mm-hmm. no, he's a perfect prospect that should have gone number 2. I'm not telling you that.
Right.
But I just find it hard to believe that you go that far with that many quarterbacks in between.
Mel Kiper would tell you.
I bet he would.
Dude, that got
too much. He went on and on.
That was too
man.
Much.
He was crashing out, man. That was a classic case of crashing out, man.
Just take the L on that one.
Can I give you a story that I don't know how to quantify or qualify? Or describe, because in some ways you could call it a bittersweet, like kind of a maybe heartwarming, but mm-hmm. also a very sad story. Derek Harmon, interior defensive lineman, who was selected by the Steelers in the first round with a 21 in that spot on Thursday. His mother, Tiffany Sane, she suffered a stroke in 2022 that left her paralyzed on her left side. Mm-hmm. So she was on life support in the hospital as he's going through, you know, his college career and everything. And she passed away on Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
about 15 minutes after he was able to, like, kind of get to the hospital and talk with her about him basically reaching this fulfillment of a mm-hmm. life's dream. And so it was such a wild story to think about, that you had this, I mean, your mother is in this tough circumstance. Yeah. You have this moment of jubilation. And it almost feels like you can craft the narrative of she held on just long enough to see her baby, make sure that he's solidified for a good amount of his lifetime.
To me, this was comforting. A lot of people saying sad, and it is, obviously, but to me, this was comfort. She could have died last week. She could have died last year. She could have died next week, but she died then. To me, that's almost a comforting thing.
I would hope so. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, if you were inclined to try and talk about, or if you're living through this, I imagine you would want to take the most optimistic and hopeful and, I guess, encouraging aspect or look at it.
Mm-hmm.
With all of that, obviously, condolences to Derek Harmon. And obviously, I imagine that there has to be some level of warmth in the idea that she was able to at least see her son reach that height. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's stay with the draft. You know what comes after the draft? Draft grades. What are the experts, quote unquote, saying about the draft of the Texans? And why not go around the AFC South and see what other draft grades they're getting? We'll do that next.